Welcome to day 71 of our 180-day study of the Westminster Standards. We're in the second commandment now, and we'll start with the shorter catechism, question 49, which is the second commandment? Answer, the second commandment is, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now, if you understand the pattern that the Catechism takes, you'll know that we're going to look first at the duties required in this commandment, and then, as it turns out, tomorrow we'll look at the sins forbidden in this commandment, and then there'll be the reasons annexed to the second commandment, the more to enforce it, the reasons there being what happens to the children in the next generations. So let's look at question 50 of the Shorter Catechism for a short summary, of what is required in the second commandment. That's question 50. What is required in the second commandment? Answer, the second commandment requireth the receiving, observing, and keeping pure and entire all such religious worship and ordinances as God hath appointed in his word. For proof texts, we're given Deuteronomy 32:46, and he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now let's go to the larger catechism for a fuller exposition of the second commandment, and we'll start with question 108. I think that's all we'll cover today is 108, which is, what are the duties required in the second commandment? The answer is, the duties required in the second commandment are the receiving, observing, and keeping pure and entire all such religious worship and ordinances as God hath instituted in his word, particularly prayer and thanksgiving in the name of Christ, the reading, preaching, and hearing of the word, the administration and receiving of the sacraments, church, government, and discipline, the ministry and maintenance thereof, religious fasting, swearing by the name of God and vowing unto him, as also the disapproving, detesting, opposing all false worship, and according to each one's place and calling, removing it, and all monuments of idolatry. So we'll start with the first phrase, similar to the shorter catechism, with an additional verse. The duties required in the second commandment are the receiving, observing, and keeping pure and entire all such religious worship and ordinances as God hath instituted in his word. And the shorter catechism gave us Deuteronomy 32:46. The large catechism adds verse 47, for it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing you shall prolong your days in the land whither you go over Jordan to possess it. Then Matthew 28, the Great Commission, is also a proof text, and Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The larger catechism adds 1 Timothy 6:13-14, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. The next phrase, that we are to keep pure and keep entire all such religious worship and ordinances as God hath instituted in his word, particularly prayer and thanksgiving in the name of Christ. Philippians 4:6, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Another element of the religious worship and ordinances that God has instituted in his word, the reading, preaching, and hearing of the word. Deuteronomy 17, 18 and 19, "And it shall be, when he, the king, sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, out of that which is before the priests, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them." And the Catechism doesn't mention this, but you might recall that in the book of Revelation and elsewhere, it's told that we are priests and kings, so we should certainly take to heart the duties that are put before the king here in Deuteronomy 17. Acts 15:21, "For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day." Remember, that was the Jerusalem Council, and that was the order given to the Gentiles, that they go to synagogue so they can hear Moses being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. 2 Timothy 4:2, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine." James 1, 21 and 22, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And Acts 10:33, "Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." Okay, in addition to the preaching and reading of the, and hearing of the word, the administration and receiving of the sacraments. Matthew 28:19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." And 1 Corinthians 11:23 30, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread," the Catechism says, etc., at least the edition we have here, but you can look and read the rest of chapter 11. Then, in addition to the receiving, administration and receiving of the sacraments, church, government, and discipline. Matthew 18, 15 and following, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican," or tax collector. Matthew 16:19, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." 1 Corinthians 5 is the example Paul gives to the church at Corinth to put out the man who was committing incest. And then 1 Corinthians 12:28, "And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues." After church, government, and discipline, the second commandment requires the ministry and maintenance thereof. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." 1 Timothy 5:17 and 18, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor," or double pay, "especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward." 1 Corinthians 9, 7-15, "Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? And who planteth a vineyard, and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock, and eateth not of the milk of the flock?" And the Catechism here, our edition, says, etc., but the rest of the passage talks about the same law, that not to muzzle the ox that treads out the corn, laws from Deuteronomy, I believe. And Paul says that God said this for our sake. For our sake, no doubt, this is written. Then, in addition to the ministry and maintenance thereof, religious fasting. Joel 2:12, "Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me, with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. 1 Corinthians 7:5, defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Then in addition to religious fasting, swearing by the name of God. We'll have an entire chapter that deals with this in the Confession of Faith, along with the next portion, which has to do with vows. But Deuteronomy 6:13 says, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name." Commandment. Then the next item, after swearing by the name of God, is vowing unto him. Isaiah 19:21 predicts, "The Lord shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day, and shall do sacrifice and oblation. Yea, they shall vow a vow unto the Lord, and perform it." Psalm 76:11, "Vow, and pay unto the Lord your God. Let all that be round about him bring presents unto him that ought to be feared." Then after vowing unto him, also the disapproving, detesting, opposing all false worship. Acts 17:16 and 17, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him." Psalm 16:4, "Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips." And then finally, not just disapproving, detesting, opposing all false worship, but according to each one's place and calling, removing it and all monuments of idolatry. Deuteronomy 7:5, "But thus shall ye deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire." Isaiah 30:22, "Ye shall defile also the covering of the graven images of silver, and the ornament of thy molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a menstruous cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, Get thee hence." Now historically, at the time the Westminster Confession was written, it was believed that those who were part of the civil magistrate, it was according to their place and calling to remove false worship and all monuments of idolatry. Now one could see this applied, for example, if somebody built an altar to an Aztec sun god, and you noticed that your neighbor was starting to sacrifice some young virgin to the sun god. According to each one's place and calling, it would be a duty to remove the false worship and all monuments of idolatry. That's a pretty controversial one. We'll not get into the controversy today, but if you're interested in pursuing the conversation, be sure to post your comment on the blog. That'll do it for today, day 71. Tomorrow, we'll look at the sins forbidden in the second commandment.